Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We go on the sidelines each and every day with the dogs, and we talk college sports, guys. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBoxElectrical.com. You guys want a man cave, you want home security, home monitoring, call them up, 770-901-2500. They are a cool Ray company.
Now, before we get into some thoughts on Georgia, Georgia Tech, and really a story I don't know if a lot of people have heard about, Muhammad Massaqua. We'll get into this story as well. Real quick, can I tell you guys something? Our boss is cheap.
This is news to you?
Well, you know, you want to believe the best in people. You want to take their word for things. I think we have it on tape last week, AT. Correct me if I'm wrong, where our boss came into the studio and he said, I'm going to take you guys out to dinner and I'm going to pay. Don't you remember he said that?
It was on Thursday.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to say.
He busts in the studio like the Kool-Aid man who's all fired up about Nashville.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to pay for dinner.
I'm going to pay. I'm going to take you guys out and pay for dinner. He's cheap. All right, let's set the record straight right now. He did take us to dinner, but he did not pay. As a matter of fact, he was reluctant to even split the bill at one point. But I'll say, if any time you hear Terry Fox, double X is what we call him, on any show saying that he's going to pay for something.
Oh, he's listening. He's in the hallway.
It's not going to happen. He will back out. And I can't believe that he was on tape saying, I'll pay for everything, and then he didn't pay for it.
Yeah, not to mention that I missed out on that first dinner. Then we go out for sushi, and he basically, two-thirds of the bill was him on his high-end sake, all this high-end stuff, and then we got to split that thing.
And then he's like, oh, we're going to split this three ways. Oh, hey, double X, what's going on?
Here's the good news. Here's the good news when it comes to you guys getting paychecks around here. So, first of all,
yeah,
you're going to actually go on the air and tell a falsehood have you talked to your audience about how generous your program director is since you've been here?
No, there's no reason to do that.
Oh, of course not.
You're a character in this show.
Oh,
there's no reason to do that. Right, here's the thing. I live in today. Today is today. And here's what happened.
First of all, I bought your dinner and I bought AT's dinner.
Okay.
Did I not?
Not did after. Wait a minute. Now, see?
Did I not buy the dinner portion?
The answer is yes, but not without a whole lot of riffraff about it.
Where's my bell? Thank you.
There's no proof of that.
Some would argue dessert is part of dinner. Dinner does not end without dessert.
Well, Mike, here's the thing. And you and I both, we operate on the same, you know, level. Yeah. Here's the thing. I ordered dessert thinking that Terry had the bill. Because when somebody else is picking up the bill, that's what you do.
Would you order a
let's be clear. Every time we go out to dinner and I'm around, I'm the one picking up the beer.
All I ordered was a bread pudding, and AT had some kind of apple.
Chocolate cake.
No, that's right. Chocolate cake. And it comes, and he has the audacity. Well, you guys going to have to pay for that. What?
Wow.
Why? What are you? I thought you were picking this up.
You know what? That's unbelievable. I'm the most generous
boss
you have ever had. Both of you.
So getting the check came was kind of like Real Housewives of Atlanta. I didn't have no bread pudding.
Hey, that's we had a good time.
All right, man. Appreciate you coming in.
Good time in Music City.
Hold on. Wait for it. The door is shut.
That's a slow door on that hinge. There we go. The door's shut now. I can talk again.
Cheap, dude. I'm telling you right now, man.
Dessert is part of the meal. The meal is the meal.
Mike, we would never do each other like that.
No, man. By the way, we go crazy. Sometimes I'll order an extra bottle of wine, and Carl will beat man's up and just throws it.
It's just what we're all having a good time. Anyways.
All right, guys. If you're betting on Georgia, you have no money for any dinner. The Dog Report brought to you by BrightBox. Mark Fox, a lot of guys are saying he is a dead man walking. It's going to require winning the SEC tournament to salvage what is, unfortunately for Georgia fans, everyone says Mark Fox has got a really big recruiting class on the hook for next season. Will the man be at Stegman to coach it? That's the $64,000 question.
Here is a couple of things that you can just look at, all right? And this was supposed to be a tournament year for him and this squad and this program. 2-8 in their last 10 games, Mike. 294th of 351 in scoring. Maton is the only double-digit scorer on the squad, and 10 teams rank higher than them in the SEC. It's a problem. So, you know, forget about all the things that you might think personally about Mark Fox or whether he's been good or not just over the last few years. This is about this season, and those numbers scream to me they are not a tournament team. They won't be recommended. The only way they get in the tournament is to win the SEC championship in their SEC tournament. Right. Mike, that's not going to happen. So I'm going to tell you, yes, unfortunately, it's time for a change. I actually thought it was time for a change last year. But he got the vote of confidence from McGarrity.
Greg McGarrity before the SEC tournament. For what the motivation there, I don't understand. Look, the good news is people do hit us up on the text line and they do tweet about Georgia basketball. So there is an interest there. There has been limited success in very small spurts. Consistent success above the boards was with Tubby. Herrick obviously below the board, you know. And then unfortunately, you know, it just has not panned out. You know, it's a team and a city and a state where you got so many guys playing great college basketball and just not for Georgia. So moving forward, let's hope that McGarrity can plug in the right guy because I do think it's a sleeping giant. You know, look at Florida. I mean, Lon Kruger got the ball started. Billy Donovan then took it to another level. There's no reason why Georgia couldn't be that as well.
Apparently, our boss is telling the other employees out
there. We're
all going
out to dinner, but who's paying?
I'm buying.
See? There it is.
See?
Tape don't lie.
See? There, that
Tape
happened
don't
last
lie.
Week, and that is not what happened. So apparently he's telling our other employees out there, fool's gold, that he will take care of them whenever he says.
You create a situation now, because now he's ticked off. He's running around now telling everybody.
But here's the deal. Am I lying?
No, you're not.
Thank you.
But what you've done is ruined the aspects of us ever going anywhere again.
Yeah, man, he's coming back in. He's coming back in.
Yes, Double X, how can we help you? What's going on?
Really? Are y'all just going on this?
We went to the tape.
You want to hear it?
Put your Hold on.
Let's turn your mics
off.
Go ahead, play it again. We're all going out to dinner, but who's paying?
I'm buying.
There you have it.
It's on tape. There it is.
I did buy dinner.
That's the key phrase.
Am I right? Hey, I did buy dinner.
It's like Seinfeld. Soup is part of dinner. Dessert is part of dinner. Let's be real,
and then I'm out of here. Here's what happened with these two gentlemen. Let me be clear. What they didn't realize when we were having dinner, they were like, is he buying? I don't know. Is he buying? Or is that awkward moment when the check's about to come? So Carl being Carl Dukes and Arthur being Arthur, what they did was, he's paying? Let's order desserts. That was after the woman was bringing me the check. So shame on you all.
No,
and I'm out.
She recommended that to us because it's a part of dinner.
All right, the great dinner debate of Nashville rages on. The listeners have spoken overwhelmingly here on the text line, guys. They're saying, look, I mean, salad, dessert is all part of dinner.
It's a part of
it. The dinner is not over until you have left the table, okay?
That's correct. When everybody rises up and leaves, okay?
If you choose to decline... Man. It's still a part of dinner.
And here's the other thing.
Man, I'm glad I missed this whole debacle. I went to White Castle.
Here's the other thing. I'm telling you right now, when he says to me, come to dinner, I got it. Did he not say that?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
He's on tape.
Now he has amnesia.
All right. And he's still talking. Now he's yelling around. Now you got a ruckus now. You create a situation.
Hey, man. Listen, nothing is sacred on this show. You know that. We put it all out there.
Anyway, getting back to Georgia, and nothing is happening with Georgia basketball.
Why so serious?
Exactly. You know,
I mean, now he's running around now. He's got his blood up now.
I wonder why. 404-741-0929. Let's talk about Georgia Tech real quick.
All right, bad news for Jose Alvarado. He is banged up with that shoulder injury. Josh Pastner telling Ken Segura and the AJC doesn't think we're going to see him on the court throughout what's left of Georgia Tech season. Georgia Tech, obviously, all sorts of issues from suspensions to just, unfortunately, just not being able to take that leap from last year, building off the success in the NIT.
Yeah, Duke comes in. You know, again,
they've been looking for some help, and they got it.
They've been drawing nice crowds there, too, at McCamish. But, 80-69, the final score. And for me this year, it's been a multitude of things for Georgia Tech. Turnovers killed them in their early losses. They just weren't handling the basketball well. And then they've had issues and stretches where they have a hard time scoring.
Right.
He just doesn't have enough playmakers on the floor. And when you get guys like this with you know, Alvarado being injured now and likely out for the season, tough injuries, man. And then the off-the-floor stuff, Mike, that we talked about that they tried to, you know, and specifically Josh Pastner as a head coach has not only denied, but and you know, we've said this. We think this is jive. But once this stuff gets out there, people are talking about it, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, you've got a guy who people will say, why is this guy involved with the program? This is, unfortunately, the darker side of what college basketball is. You have these guys, and you had some impermissible benefits, and that was, you know, Josh was able to kind of olay that story, that this guy did it on his own. He brought some Tech players out to his place in Arizona, and then Josh basically cut bait on this guy, and he's saying that the ex – his girlfriend alleges sexual assault. But it's out there. It's in black and white. You read that, and you might not know the whole backstory, and you think your coach is a creep, which Josh isn't, I don't believe. But either way, you got to start winning, because if you're losing and you got this, you got a big uphill battle next year. I mean, it could be three and done for Josh unless they do something.
Well, they've got some work to do, and I think he's aware of it. The folks over there are aware of it. But the distractions is something that you don't want to have outside of losing on the floor. Hey, right. In other news, this Mohamed Massaquah story, man. And I want you to hear some of the things that he's had to say. He did the Players Tribune. Is that was where this came from?
Yeah, for guys that remember, I mean, Georgia fans remember Mohamed Massaquah did a fantastic job at Matthew Stafford his last year before he went to the NFL. He was a second-round pick for the Browns late in the second round. And unfortunately, the NFL career never really materialized. But he did have some big catches for the Dogs. I remember one against Florida. But anyway, I did not know this had gone down. He has a terrible ATV accident and nearly loses his hand.
Yeah,
he only has a thumb left on one of his hands.
Here he is talking about the accident.
As we enter into another field on the way back to the cars, that's when the accident took place. Making a turn, I take the turn too sharply, and before I know it, my ATV loses control. The next thing I feel is something that just feels like an explosion just went off in my hand. I'm in shock, so I don't feel it, but I'm very aware of what's going on just because there's blood everywhere.
Ooh, he said doctors worked to save his hand, but then they realized over time that they had to remove his other fingers because they were not going to make it. And then he talks about being, you know, in denial and after this accident. But what is he thankful for? You can check this out, by the way. Players Tribune, here's a Massaquah.
I guess when I look at my hand, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful for the process. I'm thankful for the little things in life. I'm thankful for family, for friendship. Thankful for real things. This is a hand, a device, a prosthetic. I don't even really know how to truly define it at this moment.
So AT said he just retweeted it at our 92.9 The Game Twitter, and you can go check this story out. But yeah, for, as you said, for Georgia fans who remember and certainly are aware, this is one of those untold stories. You were like, what? Whatever happened?
Right.
Kind of interesting.
Oof. Hey, guys, appreciate the feedback as always on our Salmon Brothers Diamond text line, 404-741-0929. A lot of guys are saying they feel that Fox should be getting the axe out there at Georgia.
I'm sorry. Some of the other Fox.
No,
go
Fox
ahead.
With two X's. No, that's the response about the dinner debate of 2018 is endless. Don't put limits on my stomach capacity. Dessert is needed, says Glenn.
But see,
LOL.
That's what he did, Mike. He literally looked at us and was like, this is all I'm going to be paying.
Another guy, this is from Jay Cool, who says, look, dinner is dinner. A meal is a meal until it is completed. Another guy here says, catch, not catch. Dinner, no dinner. Yeah, we don't know what a catch is, but I think most adult males know what a dinner is.
Well, I don't know. There seems to be a debate in our office here.
Another guy, can we please talk about how Clemson basketball has been better? We know Clemson. Oh, I'm sorry, we talked about it last week. Clemson's doing really good. They're part of the great resurgence in the ACC.
They are.
And they're having a monster year, and they should be a high seed. And we'll talk more about it. They've got some big wins.
Yeah, by the way, Selection Sunday coming up here in just a few weeks. I mean, guys, we are literally a few weeks away from the tournament. And obviously the conference tournaments will play out. And a couple of teams will be surprises. But Clemson is one of those teams to watch.
And by the way, how about watching Kentucky against Texas A&M? We were watching some of that the other night. Yuck.
They're not good. They're not good, by the way. Kentucky, and I say that, they're good. They're not good to Kentucky standards.
Right.
They're still a very talented team.
The idea
team.
That every year you can just plug in the entire McDonald's All-American team and they're going to coalesce together. I mean, it takes – usually they just start to get it right as the SEC season is winding down, right? Well, not this year for those guys. But how about the job Bruce Pearl is doing? You say what you want about Bruce Pearl and, okay, when will the NCAA get there? Well, not yet. One of his assistants is a dead man walking, but they're 22-3. Auburn just keeps on trucking. Again, they smoked Georgia. That's how we started the segment, talking about if you're looking for Georgia to come and, you know, have a big, impressive win, not even close.
Alabama is a team that I'll be watching closely in the tournament. Auburn obviously has a chance to make a deep run. And you're right. Bruce Pearl, say what you want. Duke can coach. I mean, he's proven that in the few places, you know, that he's been. He had the Tennessee program resurrected, Mike, until that stuff went down. So, you know, for what it's worth, the SEC, and we've been saying this, there's no reason the SEC should just be about Kentucky and no one else.
Hey, A&M, you just mentioned it, by the way, Old Miss's coach, Andy Kennedy, speaking of Mark Fox's situation. 12th season at Old Miss. Andy's been around for a while, but 11-14 this year, 4-8. So they're going to move on from Andy Kennedy out there in Oxford.
Yeah. Kentucky, by the way, is 500 in conference play. 6-6.
Right.
So with that said, hey, man, again, brought to you, as always, by our friends at BrightBox.
Yeah, man, BrightBoxElectrical.com, big fans of the dogs, and they'd like to see the dogs in the tournament. 770-901-2500, BrightBoxElectrical.com.
Appreciate you guys having my back on that whole dinner conversation.
Oh, got another one.
What's that?
Dan says, guys, for the record, Fox didn't buy dinner. He bought entrees.
That's exactly what happened. Thank you for your input, man.
Oh, listen to this from... I can't read what this guy's name is. G in it? Anyway, it's says XX, meaning Fox, our boss, must be a lawyer the way he plays the semantics game. Shame, shame. There is no way to treat obvious superstars.
That's all I'm saying, man. I mean, I was all geeked up, excited. Oh, AT2. Okay, great. Come on, let's go. You're going to pay for dinner? This is terrific. Drinks, too? Oh, wow.
Out of the goodness of his heart.
Man, this is terrific.
The question I have, because, again, I missed out on this dinner. I just went home and went to bed after having some White Castles. Did he have a Groupon, Carl?
He might as well have. We're all going out to dinner, but who's paying?
I'm buying.
Why so serious?
Tomorrow, pitchers and catchers report for the Atlanta Braves. Baseball season right around the corner. And by the way, Chip's going to join us tomorrow. Is that right, AT? I'm going to get Chip on. Chip Carey will join us tomorrow. We'll chop it up with Chip. The MLB Network is also doing a special about the 90s Braves. We're looking to get somebody on for that. I think it premieres tomorrow night. So tomorrow, talking a little bit more about what this team's going to look like. Mike, you know, we talk about this. Can they be over 500? Should they be? We talked about this earlier in the show, and you were saying a lot of the young players on the Hawks should be playing. Well, all the young guys with the Braves who are ready should be playing.
Right. And I think if you look at the progression, I mean, or whatever you want to call where the Braves have been since that last trip to the playoffs, I mean, you should be. And we thought last year they were going to make the jump to be around 500. Now, you're not going to spend and invest in free agents. Now, is there even a number that they would have, Carl, if you were, let's say, three or four games out of that final spot for the wild card? Would Liberty Media have the wherewithal to go spend to do that? Because that would be a nice sign to the fans that you are in it to win it, and it's not all about wait till next year, wait till next year. I understand the plan behind this is you restock the farm system, check. Now, look, Coppola, whatever he was, apparently did a pretty good job of doing that. But when are we going to see some of these dudes coming up to the next level?
It's really the million-dollar, multi-million-dollar question. The one guy everybody has an eye on is Ronald Acuna, the five-tool, exciting player, probably, you know, the best player, considered to be the number one prospect in baseball. He turned 20 years old in December. And here's a guy that's going to compete for a starting job in spring training. I will tell you guys this, and we talk about this all the time, where – clubs decide not to bring guys up because they want that extra year of control. And when I say control, I'm talking about before guys go to arbitration and they start to make the real big money. The one example is the guy that was with the Cubs, Chris Bryant.
Right.
They kept him in AAA.
Cubs fans are going nuts because they wanted the control of the contract.
That's right. At the beginning of the 2015 season. And he basically stayed down there a little bit longer than people wanted. But that was just basically the timing of the move. And the similar situation could happen with Acuna, depending on when the Braves bring him up. He could start opening day, but I don't think that's going to be the case.
Well, let's just say for argument's sake, Austin Riley, AA, one of the big stars at third base, the third baseman of
the future.
Is he going to – what if he starts hitting the cover off the ball at spring training? Because conventional wisdom, and I mean other than you know what I've seen from Dave O'Brien, and we've talked to Grant about it, they're going to kind of do third base by committee. Johan Camargo is going to get the shot. But, I mean, at the end of the day, Riley will be up probably for the call-up in September, maybe sooner. The sooner the better. I know you don't want to – and here's the other thing. Whether it's Acuna or whether it's going to be Riley down the road, whoever the next star for the Braves is, take it slow. You don't need to put all the pressure you did with Frank Cor. We had Jeff on during the Georgia – the lead up to the Georgia-Alabama championship.
By the way. He's doing well.
Jeff's – I mean, got a future in radio and TV. But, I mean, but don't do the, where you put the pressure on the kid who becomes the focal point of marketing the way they did with Dansby. You know, and is by the way, is Dansby going to be Mark Belanger or is Dansby going to be Cal Ripken?
Well, that's the big question as well. I mean, you'd now hope after, you know, a season under his belt that he takes the jump. And remember, they moved him down for, you know, a few days. It really wasn't that long. It was maybe a week or so, if that. But I thought it helped Dansby. And it also sent a message, I think, too, that, you know, no matter who you are, if you're struggling and we still have the ability to do this, we're going to do it. As far as pitchers and catchers, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but it's going to be Tyler Flowers and Kurt Suzuki, you know, behind the plate there and looking for a repeat performance. Those guys basically split the time last year, and that probably will be the situation this year. The pitching staff, what's it going to look like? Folty, you know, loses his arbitration case to the Braves, but he's still going to make more money than mm-hmm. he wanted or thought he would make. And so, but Folty's going to be back coming off of one of his best years. Or I think it was his best year. There are a lot of questions, as there are going to spring training. But until Acuña gets there, they don't have that right-handed power guy coming up right. to bat. They just don't. The guy with the power in the lineup is Freddie, and Acuña's supposed to be that other guy from the right-hand side, Mike, but it may be a while before we see him.
And the good thing is Ozzie Albies looked as advertised, right?
He did.
You like what you saw?
I did.
Smaller sample size, but look, there's reason to be excited, but just what does it take? I thought for sure they were going to sell out all season long with the newness of the stadium, and that wasn't really the case. There were a lot of games, especially in the fall once football started. Man, a lot of empty seats. But fan base, because we talk about this all the time, whether you think Arthur's doing a good job or a bad job, you know that Arthur wants to win more than anybody. You know, we're trying to find out how intense Tony Ressler is about wanting to win, right? You know, we're trying to get the familiarity there. We know that Arthur wants to win. With the matter of fact, they put money into United. They're doing everything they can to get United a championship this year. Don't know about with Liberty Media. And I know guys that are big Braves fans feel I'm always taking pot shots at Liberty Media because they make it so easy. We just don't know what their mission statement is. We don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, but ownership matters, guys. It does. And this is why we respect, you know, Arthur Blank so much, because at least we know the buck stops with him. And,
right.
and when we talk about our football team, or as Mike just mentioned, the United, we know what the plan is. At least we have an idea of where this thing is going. And when it's not moving in the right direction, we have an owner that's not afraid to make changes. We also
right.
know that. With Liberty Media, is it just a fact of a spreadsheet and the bottom line, or are they really in it for the city and the fans to win a championship? And, you know, you can say that, but we know this. Behind closed doors, Mike, you know, something else could be certainly being said about whether or not that's the case. You got a new stadium. The battery is great. You're going to make a lot of money here over the next few years. We're going to get an all-star game, yada, yada, yada. I don't care about any of that unless the team is competitive and winning. And maybe we got spoiled, but I got to tell you something. There's no reason with the money that Liberty Media has that they can't spend money on the Braves.
Well, they could have spent their way out of it. I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, if you go back, and I know you can't cry poverty when people can look you up online and see how much this corporation is worth, but they do. You know, so they do operate under a budget. And I think a lot of people have said, and I've seen it written about in the paper by some of the columnists in the AJC, you know, when they cleaned house after the whole debacle with what happened with the Coppola, why does McGurk get a shot? Why does he stick around? You know, I mean, Sherholz, for all the great things he's accomplished, he's a Hall of Famer, his legacy set. Well, you know, just let this guy run this thing. And by the way, I mean, is there a number? Let's say the Braves exceed all expectations. Do you really trust Liberty Media if they are 3 or 4 or 5 games out of the wild card? Or out of the division for argument's sake, they're going to go invest. They're going to go rent a player. No, they won't do that. We'll see. Proof will be in the pudding. First things first. Let's get over 500.
Well, and are they going to let Anthopoulos do what he needs to do? That's what you're really saying. I mean, Alex came in here, and if they're going to give him full authority to run this team and get the personnel he needs, the answer should be yes. But to your point, financially, that's just something they haven't done. You know, when you talk about being close. Mm. Here's the other thing. I know a lot of people are talking about John Coppola and what happened there in that situation. They're past it. I mean, the punishment has been dealt out. You got to move forward. And, you know, how that's going to affect this team, moving forward long term, I don't know. I think some people made a bigger deal of the
right.
punishment. Don't get me wrong. It's a big deal. But I don't think it's going to hurt this team this year, Mike, with what happened.
Right, for those who are not familiar with what Samuel Tarley, our engineer, is doing, they don't follow Game of Thrones. As it was hitting the fan with Coppola, we looked at the Braves organization like Game of Thrones. There were different camps. Obviously, you've got you had Sherholz, you had Coppola,
you had John Hart.
Yeah. So where's
Anthopoulos?
Yeah. Who would he be? Is he Dorn? I don't know.
That's a good question.
Is he the Lord of the North? King of the North?
King of the North!
Anyway, by the way, Arthur's already shaking his head. We just try watch Game of the Thrones. Game of Thrones, Arthur, just take the Pepsi challenge on this and get caught up.
And actually, you've got time because they're not coming back till next year. You got a whole year to get it in.
Too much mayhem.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, will you stop it?
So, yeah, man, we're going to get more into the Braves tomorrow. Pitchers and catchers report. But
and by the way, real quick, can I get this out of my way right now?
Just a little tidbit. What's up?
Let me just throw this now, and I'll get my 2 cents worth on. Do you really need spring training, other than to put fannies in the seats and you can make some money off the attendance? Come on. Guys running in the outfield. Guys are playing golf half the time in strip clubs in Orlando. Let's be honest. Spring training is one of the great jokes of all time.
What you just said, I can attest to, that is true. But I will also tell you that you don't get in a game in week 1 and throw 120 pitches off the bat. You also
well, nobody throws 120 pitches anymore anyway.
But that's the thing. You got to work. So to answer your question, yes, there is a real functionality of spring training. It used to be more so. I think guys stay in shape year round now. You know, it used to be guys had to get real jobs. That was the whole thing. And then they came to spring training and we had 6 weeks to get in shape. Okay. Not the case now. Guys get paid so much. They have personal trainers year round and chefs and yada, yada, yada. Not all baseball players. But Mike, yes, you've got to stretch the arms out and you've got to work on the timing in the hitting, in the batter's box.
All I'm saying is, guys, it's 160. The season is way too damn long. And nowadays, when you say pitchers and catchers report, they get an extra 2 weeks, right? Pitchers and catchers report to pitch every fifth day, and you're on a pitch count. Half of these guys don't even make it halfway through the seventh inning. I mean,
still got to stretch those arms out, Mike.
Unbelievable. What a joke. By the way, a guy says, and it's a great point, he says, how cheap is Liberty Media? They went to arbitration with Fulte over, like, what, a couple $100,000?
Yes, it was. I think it was $200,000 more.
Yeah, he'll take home $2.2 million, falls short of the $2.3 million he requested.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's Liberty Media, guys. And they're also taking away flag girls at Formula One races, Carl. So now I don't see people in skimpy outfits.
But wait a minute. Time out. And we want to be correct and accurate on this. The arbitration process, once you put your figure in, I've got a number. I'm the player.
Right.
Team has a number. Okay. We put those numbers in. That has nothing to do with Liberty Media. That has to do with the arbitration process of Major League Baseball. I think I should be paid this. You guys think I should be paid that. And the arbitrator picks one or the other. That's how that works. It's not like Liberty Media is sitting in a room going, we're not paying Fulte. They didn't have anything necessarily to do with that. But yes, to your point, he doesn't get as much as he wanted.
And by the way, guys, I always apologize when we use that euphemism or that metaphor, that Pepsi challenge. I know we're in Coca-Cola country. I'm saying just the ad campaign back in the 80s, if it was the Coca-Cola challenge, it would be easier to say. So that's why I always go take the challenge on something.
When do we use that?
What I just said, you know, why don't you tell Arthur to take the Pepsi challenge on Game of Thrones, and immediately
yeah, because
go,
everybody remembers that.
Yeah. Well, not executives on North Avenue and Coca-Cola.
They
get very upset.
Hi, Coke.
And we're drinking, oh, shoot, that's not Dasani. But I usually love Dasani water. Damn it.
That's a good water, too, though. It's very smart.
I'm not sure who owns it. But anyway, the point we're getting to, there was a point here on Thoughtville Road, is the Braves got to start spending some money at some point in this equation. Got to start spending some money.
I don't think there's any doubt about that, especially when you got the number one farm system in Major League Baseball.
Now, when will that be, 2019?
If you think that your lineup is going to be that good, yeah. Hey, man, from one team to another, what about our Hawks, man? Are we going to get that transformative star? I mean, really, we're going to talk about it coming up.
New segment.
But when we come back, that's right. It is, yeah, man, or nah, man. All right. So this is how this works. We try new things on this show periodically. We're always evolving. And when they work, we take credit. When they don't, we blame AT. Today, we are starting a new segment called, yeah, man, or no, man. Now, you guys know we start off every hour and every day by saying,
hey man.
So it's a variety of topics. It can be anything from real life stuff to fun to sports. Who knows?
We don't know the content of the envelope Arthur's about to open and the questions he's about to ask.
Are you ready?
Without any further ado, here he is.
You ready?
All right, here he is, AT. By the way, do you like when I told the valet at the hotel you were the world's oldest surviving Harlem Globetrotter?
That was funny.
By the way, we were trying to get the valet to drive Mike's car while he was not aware.
Yeah, that was funny. You guys, by the way, that guy really likes people to drive his car. Keep the engine running when he's not in it. Anyway, here's Arthur Trish. Let's get it on.
All right, guys, it's time for Yeah Man and No Man. Your first question today. Mm-hmm. Did Cleveland's beatdown win Sunday over Boston convince you they're back on track?
I'm going to go, yeah, man. I like what I saw. I mean, better than mailing it in, right, Carl? You got a bunch of new faces. They actually got a win against the Hawks. And then in a game where you're hanging a big name, Paul Pierce's jersey off the Raptors, they went and delivered the goods. Why not?
Yeah, man. This is a team that we saw on Friday night here in Atlanta, and we thought that we might steal a game. You know, you had fresh faces getting off the plane, these guys ready to rock. LeBron just makes everybody around him better. Say what you want. And I think the guys that they got in these trades – want to play. They want to show what they're capable of. I'm going to say, yeah, man.
All right. Part two of that question as it relates to yesterday's game. Were you pleased to see the Celtics crush on Paul Pierce jersey retirement day?
Yeah, man.
I can't lie about
it. Did you happen to see the look on his face, though, as the game went on?
was not happy.
No, it ruined.
Yeah,
it ruined the ceremony. Yep. I mean, you had all your former teammates there. We mentioned this: Kevin Garnett and Doc. Doc was there.
Yeah,
Rajon Rondo.
Yeah, Rondo. Also. Everybody's there celebrating you, Mike.
Again, the way they're in their feelings bag over Ray Allen, that, I'm kind of down on it. I mean, like, he's a legend. Paul Pierce always gave maximum effort, but yeah, that was kind of fun.
Guess where Ray? Speaking of Ray, guess where Ray Allen was yesterday?
I don't know.
On the golf course.
Hey, good for him.
You know what?
Jesus Shuttleworth with a birdie.
Yeah, no better way to celebrate. So, yeah, to answer that question, am I glad they got crushed? Yeah, man.
Okay, moving on to football. We talked earlier today about the easiest schedule and the toughest schedule in the NFL next season. Since the Houston Texans appear to have the easiest schedule in the NFL, are you ready to say they can represent the AFC in the Super Bowl?
Ooh.
No, man, but with a slight lean towards the yeah, man, just because they're going to win a bunch of games. They're in a division with new coaches, a lot of turnover in those divisions. Deshaun Watson, Carl, was on pace for the MVP. I mean, even with Bill O'Brien, I still think they got enough talent there in that division. If the easiest schedule is we just laid out, yeah. I mean, but no, you still can't say that as long as the Patriots are still there.
You're telling me a 4-win team is going to the Super Bowl next year? No, man. I love Deshaun Watson. I think they have all the makings of a team that should get to the playoffs if they stay healthy. Remember, guys, you not only lose Watson, you lose J.J. Watt last year.
Right.
And Merciless.
So, you know, they've got enough talent. Can Bill O'Brien put it together? I will just tell you guys, and the only reason I know this is because I picked Deshaun Watson up for my fantasy team. Guy was balling out. Oh. I mean, they had a stretch there where it looked like the Texans might run off 5 or 6 games and really be in the hunt. But Super Bowl, no, man.
All right, guys, with college basketball really kind of – sucking around here outside of Georgia State, Morehouse, and Clark Atlanta. Let's shift to the top 25 of the NCAA top-ranked teams this year. Virginia is the new number one, and they're number one for the first time since the Ralph Sampson era, 1982. How confident are you that they will remain number one?
No, man. Look, better on offense in years past for Tony Bennett's guys, but they seem to struggle, Carl, putting points on the board when they need it late in these games, especially – look, they got enough talent. You could argue they should be a Final Four team, but they just don't seem to be clutch enough scoring in Sweet 16s and Elite Eights.
They play the best defense of any team in the country. It's what's going to take them into the tournament. But in the tournament, you got to score points. And can they balance that and score enough with the great defense that they play? Nah, man, can't go there yet.
Okay, I hear you. I agree, because we've had so many different number ones already this season. Michigan State is number 2 in the AP Top 25, Villanova number 3, Xavier number 4, Cincinnati number 5. Over in the USA Today poll, Michigan State is number 1, followed by Villanova, Virginia, Xavier, and Cincinnati.
Tony Bennett, by the way, he has gotten to the Elite 8. That's as far as they went. That was a 15-16 season. Mm-hmm. No one debates the great job he's doing, Carl, and making him relevant, but you got to score. I know it sounds – I hate when announcers say it. Score the basketball.
Well, guys, I'm going to move over to TV right now. We know you two are the Winter Olympic snobs, so I won't ask you anything about that.
No, you can.
But
you'll get a no, man.
No, man.
You can ask us. Okay.
But in lieu of the new Showtime series, The Chi, does it remind you of the HBO series, The Wire?
Yeah and no. But to answer your question, yeah, man. It's got the grittiness of The Wire. And for those who are not familiar with it, I started watching this a couple of weeks back. It's about Southside Chicago. It's as grimy as it gets as far as what really goes on, the gunplay, the gangs. But it's not – it's a drama. It's not necessarily about that. Those things are in and around the main characters. And, Mike, if you watch The Wire – you remember The Wire, if you guys remember The Wire – that show was unbelievable. I think it only lasted like 5 seasons, or maybe they took it off after 5 seasons.
I got to remember how long it was. But, yeah, great storytelling. I've only seen the first 2 episodes, but to me it reminds me a lot of The Wire. I'm going to go, yeah, man, on that because, look, good storytelling is good storytelling. Right now, it's characters that you're drawn into.
All right, final question for you today in our debut series, Yeah, Man, No, Man. With the All-Star break coming up this weekend, you've got plenty of time to catch up on some movies. So, Black Panther, 15-17 to Paris. Which one are you putting in first?
I put this out there today on Twitter. I saw the main character, Bozeman.
Chadwick Bozeman.
Mm-hmm. On one of those morning shows this morning.
Oh, Good Morning America.
Okay. Yeah. And I woke up, literally was flipping around, And hearing him talk about the passion of going into this movie and how, you know, the cast is incredible. If you guys are not familiar with who's in this movie, I'm really excited about the Black Panther for many reasons. But I got to tell you, I want to go see that Clint Eastwood movie, too. That's a real event story, real life story that happened.
The 1517 to Paris, because the idea, now, if you know the backstory, I read the article in Entertainment Weekly. And by the way, everyone's raving about Black Panther. Everyone says this is like no one really, I don't know if people had expectations with Wonder Woman, but that thing seemed to exceed all expectations. People saying this one is, it means so much to the black community and people going bananas. But regardless, it's transcendent because everybody seems to enjoy the character. Because once again, right, it's Marvel that gets it and DC never seems to get the,
true.
The superhero movies. But this one, the idea that Clint was going to go with regular actors and then said, you know what, after he interviewed these guys with the project, said, let's try it. Let's roll the dice with these guys, because who's better to tell their story than them?
To that point, Mike, they were on The Daily Show. I believe it was Thursday, if not last Wednesday. I was very impressed with the three guys that are featured in this film. I'm going to go to see that movie first, because everybody's trying to get into Black Panther, and tickets aren't available.
Okay, thank you. So. The second part of that is the real reason you're not going. It's because tickets are not available.
So we got time to check out the other one.
All right, man.
Good stuff.
And by the way, a couple of guys texted in. They dig it so far. So we did one of these, and the listeners are saying nice questions by ATs.
Yeah.
They're digging it.
Well, that's yeah, man, and no, man. And, again, a variety of topics. Some serious can be. It depends on the day. But something fun to throw around, guys. Appreciate it. AT, good job. It seems like it worked, so we'll continue to roll.
One guy said,
it.
Who cares, man? But he's the Philly guy, so we don't care what he thinks anyway.
Hey, guys, this hour of Dukes and Bell brought to you by the Exogen
Hey, you're reading it, not me, pal.
Yeah, man.
I'm reading what Sam Tarley put up here. Temporal, Exogen, temporal, scanner, thermometer. Mm-hmm. Thank you. This hour of Dukes and Bell. Hey, guys, coming up, we've got the Falcon Report. We'll talk more about Arthur Blank and his comments about Matt Ryan. If you missed it, he had a chance to talk with Von McClure. And more about the Hawks. We need a transformative star. We've been throwing this around. We came in today. Rick and John were saying, hey, this is the guy I want. I don't care who we get as long as they're exciting.
And he's a biracial angel.
Okay, maybe.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.